So we're midway through the Lord's Prayer, and we're thinking about how that prayer helps us to shine as children of God. It's midway through the Sermon on the Mount, and all of that centers on the Lord's Prayer. It's important, isn't it, that we recognize that at the center of that sermon is Jesus teaching us, helping us, helping people who long to know how to pray better, more in line with what it means to have our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And there's a slight change of gear in the Lord's Prayer from looking towards heaven and the Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And we come to the first of the petitions, our personal ones. Give us this day our daily bread. So that's where we are this evening, asking what it means to pray to our Heavenly Father to give us our daily bread. So that just to kick us off, I thought I'd ask a question whether we know our facts. Do you know the facts of bread in the UK? Hopefully there'll be a little thing on the screen. But as that comes up, do you know that there are 12 million loaves of bread sold in the UK every day? 99% of people in the UK eat bread at least once a week. And over 200 different kinds of bread are regularly produced. Bread is about 35% more expensive now than it was 10 years ago. But even so, about a third of all bread bought in the UK ends up in the bin. Good stats, huh? But for most of us, most of the time, we don't really think that much about bread. Bread is pretty much everywhere. It's pretty easy to get hold of. It's everywhere, so we don't need to think that much about it. Unless it's whether to buy brown or white, black or malted or seeded or sourdough, granary, rye, sliced, French. So many different kinds of bread. Why does Jesus want us to think about bread, our daily bread, day by day? If bread is everywhere, why should we pray to God about bread? Well, I want us to see a few things this evening as we think about this a little bit more. And the first of them is to say that how we pray and praying about bread reveals a lot about our view of God. So it reveals a lot about our view of God. Whether we think praying to God for bread is appropriate or not. Why does God in Jesus go from encouraging us to think about those big things, the Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, those great big cosmic things that we've been thinking about over these last few weeks. He goes from that big scale all the way down to thinking about daily bread. We often think about God just being interested in those big spiritual things, those things that seem to be of that huge scale. And yet Jesus is encouraging us to pray about what happens in our tummies tomorrow morning, about praying for our daily needs. And it's not that God is just interested in bread. So if you wake up tomorrow morning and think that you'd like cereal or porridge rather than bread, and you think, well, I can't really pray to God about that because he's just said, pray about daily bread. You know, I can't pray about my chicken sandwich or anything like that. I've got to pray just about bread. That's not what's going on here. God's encouraging us, Jesus is encouraging us to pray for our daily needs. In those old days, in Old Testament and New Testament times, bread was like the essential kind of food, the food that people would eat on a daily basis. It's the essentials for life. And we still call someone who earns enough to feed their family the breadwinner in the family. In Cockney rhyming slang, what does bread and honey mean? It means your money. It's kind of those essential things, the basics of what we need. And so in Hebrew days, if you invited someone round to share a meal with you, you'd say, come round, let's break bread together. It's just those essential things that we have, that we need for ourselves, to feed ourselves and our families. So God's saying, I'm not just interested in this huge cosmic father scale things. I'm interested in what you eat tomorrow morning. I'm concerned about what my children are doing day by day. So if you're a celiac or you have an intolerance for gluten, don't worry, you can still pray the Lord's Prayer. God's still keen on you. Jesus says we need to pray out of our need, our genuine need for food, Pray because you need to be physically fed, because you get hungry and you need food to live. God is concerned about these things. So let me suggest two reasons why we find it hard to pray about food and the basics of life. First off, we think it's inappropriate. And secondly, we don't like to admit that we're dependent on God for these things. Does it seem inappropriate to you to talk to God about food, about the basics of life, talking to God about those things that are most close to you physically? Does it seem too basic, not spiritual enough? Does it seem too demanding? Do you notice there's no please in the Lord's Prayer? It says, give us today our daily bread. Well, it depends a lot on our view of God. Jesus talks later in the same sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, of a father who is asked by his children for some food, for a loaf of bread. And he says, who among you, if you're a parent, if your child asks you for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? How much more does your Father in heaven long to give you the things that you need? We ask because we are persuaded that God will hear us. We're praying out of our basic dependence and need, not because just of those needs, but because God listens to us. Max Lucado, who's an evangelist, put it like this. He said, our Father has committed to care for us. We aren't wrestling crumbs out of a reluctant hand, but rather confessing the bounty of a generous hand. The essence of the prayer is an affirmation of the Father's care, and our provision is his priority. Jesus is saying, do you trust God as your Father, truly as a heavenly Father who is committed to your care? If so, you'll pray to him, not just about those big things, the things that you can't manage, but about daily life as well. I shared a house with a friend, and he was an engineer and had a very different attitude towards food than I did. He used to spend as little time eating during the day as possible. So he'd grab cereal in the morning, baked beans on toast in the afternoon, and a sausage sandwich was too much effort. That took too long to cook. So he'd have steak sandwiches, which took much shorter than the sausages. He thought that spending time on cooking and on food was just a waste of time and energy. He wanted to be on to the next thing as soon as possible. But it also meant that he couldn't enjoy food. So that if we cooked him a lovely meal, he'd just wolf it down and be on to the next thing as soon as possible. I wonder what our attitude towards those generous things that God gives us is. Do we just try and get on to the next thing as soon as possible? Or do we take time to recognize that all that we have is a gift from God? We pray for the basic things of life because we need to be reminded day after day that we cannot provide for ourselves all that we need to live and flourish. We don't pray because we're ashamed that we're physical and vulnerable physical beings. Rather, we rejoice that God has made us this way. He's made us to feel hunger. He's made us to enjoy food. He's made us to enjoy his care and his creation. But we also don't pray this way often because we like to think we can look after ourselves. By praying for God for our daily bread, we're realizing that everything we have is indeed a gift. Every meal is a miracle. It took thousands of combined factors in the wild for that food to come to our table. And everything comes from him. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 says, everything created by God is good. And even Jesus, as Jesus faces that temptation from Satan to create bread out of the stones, he says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust in my Father. When he goes up to the upper room at the end, the last meal that he shares before his crucifixion, what does he do when he gathers those things, that bread and that wine on that table? He gives thanks to his heavenly Father. Even Jesus recognized the food that he ate was a gift from his Father. We're one of the first cultures to not really think like this. Food appears on the supermarket shelves as if by magic. It's not by magic. Every meal is a miracle. And so instead we have a kind of feeling of entitlement. If we have a good meal, well, that's just what we deserve. And entitlement was defined like this, a pervasive and enduring feeling of deservingness for more goods, services, or special treatment, with or without any dutifully earned right to those benefits. We think that we have a right to all the things that we enjoy on this earth. That's not how the Bible says. The Bible says it's a gift from our Heavenly Father, his basic care and provision in good times. And I was reminded again of this when I was reading of refugee children, some of the refugee children that are coming out of Syria, being placed in camps and so on around the Middle East. And the relief agencies say they come to deal with these children who often suffered extreme hunger and difficulty. And even though the children now have three meals a day in these camps, they're still exceedingly worried about what will happen in the morning. And so they're restless and anxious at nights and have difficulty sleeping. And so as one of the aid workers talked to the children, they discovered that the greatest anxiety is whether they would have food the next day. And so to resolve the problem, what the aid agency workers used to do would be find a small piece of bread and give each child a piece of bread to hold in their hand as they went to sleep that night. Not to eat during the night, not for a midnight snack, but just as a token that there's enough bread to go on till the morning, a token that they will be looked after and provided for the next day. And they found the children slept a whole lot better just as they held on to that loaf of bread. It was a security for them. And likewise, what's our security with the Lord? That daily provision from day to day, that he looks after our physical needs, that we have food, bread for our day. So can I ask you, do you pray to God about your daily needs as you wake up in the morning? Or is it just kind of the higher things, the kind of more important things? Do you pray as you make your sandwiches? Do you pray as you do the food shopping? Do you pray as you make the evening meal for the family? What a difference it would make if we knew that the things that we find on the supermarket shelves are a gift from God. What a different attitude that would be to our supermarkets. Are we joyfully willing to accept our dependence on God for the basics of life? So praying for our daily bread will change our view of God, that he's interested in these things, that he provides bountifully for us. But it will also change our view of what we need. So give us today our daily bread, or we could say the food that we need. In this prayer, we're asking not for riches, not for poverty, but enough for this day. Give us today our daily bread. We're praying out of our need, not out of our greed. And regularly praying this kind of prayer will help us see the difference between need and greed. And that's important in our grasping culture, isn't it? We're rarely satisfied with what we have. Last year's stuff is not enough. I need the stuff of tomorrow as well. The phone they sell you at the shop is nearly already out of date by the time you take it home. Your car needs to be the latest model. Your clothes are last year's fashion. Your TV package doesn't cover the latest sport. Do you see, we're constantly being sold more and more. We need more and more for tomorrow. Instead, the Lord's Prayer says, "Let me be content to live through today with what you give me today." One of the stories I love most about Jesus in the Bible is him meeting the disciples at the Lake of Galilee after he's risen from the dead. And you can imagine that the disciples have all these questions going on in their minds and their hearts. They've seen Jesus crucified, they've seen him on the cross die and then raised from the dead, kind of mind-blowing stuff. And they've got all kinds of questions about what's gone on in the past and what will happen in the future. But what does Jesus do when he meets them? He doesn't sit them down for a seminar session and say, let's go through what's going to happen over the next 30 days. He sits them down by the waterside and feeds them breakfast. He said, let's worry about breakfast first, and then we'll get on to what happens next. Give me today my daily bread. Let's get things sorted out for today. Daily dependence, then, is for each of us. Maybe for you if you're retiring and you're worrying about what will happen tomorrow, whether you've got enough for tomorrow. It's for you if you feel like your marriage is hanging by a thread and you worry about what it'll be like tomorrow. It's for you if you're not sure what comes after the exams. It's for you if you feel like your body is no longer your own with sickness or age. It's for you if you're caring for someone and you don't know what that will mean in a week's time or a year's time. God, give me today what I need for today. And tomorrow, we'll pray that same prayer all over again. As C.S. Lewis wrote in a letter to a friend, it's seldom the present and the actual that is intolerable. Remember, one is given the strength to bear what happens, but not the 101 different things that might happen. Someone once said that worry is holding on to something that really belongs in God's hands, and tomorrow belongs in God's hands. Worry is like a rocking chair, a whole lot of activity, but you don't go anywhere. So let's be clear. The Bible does teach us to work hard, to do as much as we can to support ourselves and to give to others. We're not just to sit back and let God. Jesus worked as a carpenter. Paul worked as a tent maker. Many of the disciples were fishermen. For the same time, we're to recognize that all that we have, all that we need for today, is a gift from God. It changes our view of what we need, from what we think we need, to what we truly need. And finally, it changes my to our. Do you see, this prayer is not about give me today my daily bread. It's not like I can sit back at home, I got my French bread in the morning, scoff on that in the morning, and thank you, God, you've met my needs, everything's all right. No, Jesus says, pray, give us today our daily bread. This is a private prayer. Jesus has told his disciples to go away up into the private room, to shut the door, close the door, don't let anybody else know you're praying. So it's a private prayer, but it's not just praying to my Father, it's praying to our Father, to Alex's father, to Dave's father, to Sarah's father, to Joanna's father, to all of our Father. We're praying for our daily bread. It's a family prayer. We're praying that God will meet our daily needs. So it's a prayer for the fullness of the whole church, not just my own stomach. We're reminded that we're part of a church family, many of whom do struggle day by day for the most basic things in life. Sometimes food, oftentimes friendship, kindness, a person to help them look after the children, a friend to listen to on the end of a phone, a person to help with the chores. If we keep on praying, give us today our daily bread, we'll start changing my to an hour. So I'm praying this prayer, and I'm praying for my brothers and sisters, many of them who are profoundly in need. I'm not just thinking of myself. I'm thinking and praying for others. And as I pray, I get hungry for that living bread, not just the bread that will satisfy me and us day by day, but the one that will give us deeper satisfaction. And that's why it's worth coming back next week, as we look at God forgiving us. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. One who leads us not into temptation, but who delivers us from evil. Because as we read this, give us today our daily bread, we recognize this is the same one who said, I am the living bread. Our hunger reminds us to feed on him. In John chapter 6, Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my body. The hunger that we have for daily bread, day by day, the hunger that drives us to pray day by day, speaks to us of a deeper hunger for living bread that will truly satisfy, not just in this life, but in the life to come.